Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Voice is a little bit better. McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday night as I got you for 5 hours as we do a ride to midnight right here on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Rami Lavi on the other side, and we're back in the swing of things. Now we'll get to everything. Big day, big show. Knicks going for a championship. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I am so pumped. We'll get to that as the game starts at 8:30. We'll get to if the Yankees are going to do anything, but we got to start with your New York Mets and the idea that we are deciding who to blame for the disaster. And let's be clear to start, right? I view this. Now, you Met fans, you can tell me something else at 888-808-1019. This is a disaster. I am stunned. I have to admit, I am stunned. I cannot believe that the Mets allowed, and yes, allowed Edwin Diaz to go to the Los Angeles Dodgers on a 3-year contract. I am stunned. And I've been saying it this entire offseason when the question has been universally from every Met fan or anybody interested in the Mets, the conversation is, well, you got Pete Alonso, you got Edwin Diaz, and which one is more important? Which one do they need to sign? Preferably both. But if you had to choose which one, and I've been saying forever, without question, to me, with the state of the Mets starting pitching, the state of the Mets bullpen, and the idea that replacing the best closer in baseball, which is what he is, the best, most consistent, most durable. I had one, you know, odd knee injury a couple years ago that cost him the whole season. Outside of that, he's the most durable. He is the best. He could pitch in different innings. It doesn't matter. Multiple innings when you need him to be. This is the best closer in baseball. And as much as we could talk about how do you replace the 40 home runs, how do you replace the 120 RBIs, how do you replace what Pete Alonso gives you, it's not easy to replace what Pete Alonso gives you. It is not. And especially now that Kyle Schwarber is no longer out there, it's damn near impossible to do it with one player. But you can't talk run prevention the way the Mets have talked run prevention. Move on from Brendan Nimmo. Run prevention, defense. Bring in Semien so he could be better defensive at second base. You're going to bring in either, you know, another left fielder, maybe Bellinger, whoever who's better in left field. Run prevention without a starting rotation, really. And with, you know, Devin Williams in the fold, and we'll get to how much that impacted or what we could have taken from it at the moment, and what that kind of told us or what we can read from that signing now, I'm sorry. Losing Diaz is a disaster. You cannot replace the best reliever, the best closer in the game. So let's just start there. Is there, like, when the whole offseason is over, can we look back and see what this team looks like and make our decision? Sure. Does it mean they're screwed? Does it mean they can't win? No. But this is the guy you needed to bring back. I'm sorry. This is the guy over Alonso, over everything else. This should have been priority number one. And he leaves for 3 years and $3 million more than the Mets offered him. And so let's just get into it right there about whose fault this is, because that apparently seems to be the debate. And I'm sorry. Are we really talking about when phone calls were made? Well, he made the phone call first. He made the phone call first. And he didn't really come back. And he didn't give them an opportunity. And they've been talking for however long. Like, I don't know. The season ended when? The beginning of October for the Mets. Well, he didn't really give them a chance to come back. This is such, I'm sorry. If you're going to blame anyone, it's the Mets. It's Stearns and how he handled this game. Plain and simple. We can say he didn't want to be back, and maybe by the end he didn't, and maybe by the end he just took the Dodgers once they gave a number he wanted, fine, whatever the case may be. But here's the bottom line. From the beginning of this, the conversation was he wants 5 years at $100 million, and that seemed outrageous, right? That seemed outrageous, seemed a little bit much for a reliever, and we know relievers are fickle, especially now it's the second contract, he opted out, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But are you telling me that the best offer the Mets gave him was 3 years and $66 million? That's the offer that they allowed him to go shop? See, that's what bothers me. That's what really gets to me. What gets to me is the idea that nobody likes to negotiate against themselves. We hear that all the time. We hear that from the Yankees. We hear it from the Mets. We hear it from all these. No, I'm not negotiating against myself. We heard it constantly with Pete Alonso last year. I'm not negotiating against myself. Pete, you got to be reasonable. Here's what's out there. Nobody wants you. If nobody deems you worthy of signing a big-time contract off of this year with the two picks, with the picks attached to you because of the qualifying offer, blah, and we'll find out what Pete Alonso's market is now. And we'll get to that at 888-808-1019 and what's next for the Mets. But nobody likes to negotiate against themselves. Well, here's the problem. You weren't negotiating against yourself. You were negotiating against the Los Angeles Dodgers. David Stearns, and I think sometimes, and I heard Lugie mention this, is it overplayed, the idea that he's the man from Milwaukee and he's a mid-market team and he doesn't believe in this, he doesn't believe in that, and he holds firm to this and he holds firm to that, and you know he doesn't want to spend money and he believes in this form of way of building a team? Yeah, probably. Probably. It's probably overdone and probably a bit much, but here's the bottom line on the Edwin Diaz situation that he can't comment on because it's not a done deal yet, as he spoke to the media down in Orlando. Here's the bottom line. He got caught playing the market game against a team that doesn't believe the market exists. Plain and simple. That's what happened. He got caught playing the market game. No one's going to offer him five. I doubt anybody's going to offer him three. I'll offer a very competitive 3 years. No one's going to offer him four, right? No one's going to offer him five for sure. I doubt anyone offers him four. I'll offer him a very comfortable, very nice, top of the market 3 year deal and see where it goes. And I'll even tell him there's room for more. Room for more. You offered him 3 years, $66 million, bottom line. And you allowed him to shop that, and you tried to say, you went in and said, hey, this is the market, this is what we think the market is, against a team that doesn't believe the market exists, that every year goes out and signs the best reliever and the best reliever, whether or not they pitch for them in the postseason's another story, but every year they sign the best of this, the best of that, the best reliever year after year. And you're going to tell me, you know what? This guy's been the best closer in baseball for you. He's been the guy with a bad bullpen. Like, he's been your guy who's done everything you've asked him to do. He's been there for you. And the Dodgers are going to show the same level of interest you are? Maybe that eventually pissed them off. Maybe the idea that you scoffed at 5 years. Maybe the idea that you wouldn't go four because nobody else would go four. Maybe the idea that you held firm on what you believe in is what finally pissed him off. I don't know, but I'm sorry. He's your player. You had all year, you had all offseason to talk to him and work with him. You knew what he wanted. And instead, you said, well, I'm going to give what a fair market price. I mean, well, I would be an idiot, right? Same thing. It worked out last year for Pete. We heard the same thing. The Mets handled it perfectly. The Mets knew what the market was. They played it smart. They didn't offer him some crazy money. They had to go to $30 million for the 1 year. But they got Pete on a great contract. They weren't crazy. They weren't going to go do anything stupid. They always wanted Pete, but they wanted him at his number. And so that's what happened. And it turned out great for the Mets. Well, now you're going to tell me, well, they really wanted Diaz, clearly, and they wanted him at his number, though. And you know what? You played it twice, and you got burned the second time. This is on Stearns. This is on the owner. And then somewhere down the line, it's on the closer who's been the best closer in baseball for you when other teams show just as much interest as you did. Bottom line. He didn't want to come back to you. You didn't care enough to go get him. That's it. That's the fact. If they wanted him, this is the same owner I heard this time last year. This time last year, every Met fan was running around, not running, skipping and frolicking around, talking about how they have the owner who gets their man. Can't say that about the Yankees anymore. They're not the team who goes out and gets their man. They're not the guy who targets someone and says, ah, hell be damned. I'm going to go get it. Contract be damned. Money be damned. Suite be damned. Clothes be damned. Family be damned. No, it doesn't matter. I'm getting them. Not the Yankees anymore. That's the Mets. That's the Mets owner. Unless, of course, it comes to Pete Alonso, where you lucked into a 1 year, $30 million deal last year. And, of course, if it's the best closer in baseball who you deem valued at 3 years at $22 million per, and outside of that, I suppose we could have a discussion. He didn't want to have a discussion. He wanted the team that he's done all this for to love him. Some guys want love. Some guys want respect. Some guys want money. I don't know. And maybe in the end he wanted championships for the Dodgers. And maybe in the end he wanted the nicer weather. And maybe in the end he chose the Dodgers. The bottom line is the Mets didn't make him a priority. And they played the market game with a team that doesn't believe in the market. Shame on them. I don't know how, you know, we could stand here all day and talk about who wanted what, and he wasn't allowed to come back, and they never brought it back to him. Like, nonsense. Nonsense. I thought Steve Cohen was the owner. When he wants it, he goes and gets it. I guess not. So, are they capable of pivoting off of this? Everyone's favorite new word when it comes to the offseason. Can they pivot off of losing Edwin Diaz? Sure. I suppose. I don't think they're done. I don't think they're going to fold. I don't think they're going to, you know, wave the white flag and just say, well, we'll see in 2027 or we'll wait until after the CBA. Like, they're going to go out there and they're going to try and build a team. And it probably will be because they have some stars on it and because they do have assets. They should build at least a playoff team. It's amazing they weren't a playoff team last year. But make no mistake, this was, as Evan was saying all day, not only the best closer in baseball, but the best closer in Mets franchise history. In a spot that you don't get reliable, and you could look at your next closer for that exact example. In a position where reliable is hard to freaking come by, they just allowed him to go to the Dodgers. The Dodgers. And so add Steve Cohen, add the Mets, add David Stearns to the long list of teams that don't do what the Dodgers do and can't compete with the Los Angeles Dodgers and really don't have enough interest to. They allowed him on a 3-year deal. Why can't you give him 4? Can we ask the question why the 4th and 5th years for this owner whose riches can be, who's selling $10 million gold toilets, who just is about to open a printing machine of money in what a casino is? Like, why do you need to get rid of the last 2 years of $20 million for Brandon Nimmo so desperately? Why are you so afraid to give the best closer in baseball that 4th year? Why is the sticking point, as we're hearing right now, 3 years for Pete Alonso? What happens in 4 years? Like, what happens in 4 years that you can't commit money to? What happens in 4 years that the Mets don't want a dollar on the payroll? Soto's making the $50 million a year now. Lindor's making the same money now. What changes in 4 years that you can't have anybody on that team? If Diaz is no good in 4 years, you can't overcome it? You're trying to win a championship now. Now. And you're trying to beat the Dodgers to do it. I mean, you want to say that Diaz had his role in this? Of course, of course. But who's to blame for this? There's only one reason he's not a Met. And it's not because he desperately wanted out of here. If he signed a 5-year that 5-year $100 million contract that he wanted, that seems a lot for a closer. Granted, it's a lot. If he signed that with the Dodgers, we'd be having a different discussion that the Dodgers are just absolutely crazy. And we'll get to this. And the Ohtani contract affords them to do things other teams can't do. I'm totally on board with that. And it would have been a different discussion. This is 3 years, $69 million. And the best argument against it's not the Mets' fault is, well, you know, he didn't call them back. Come on. Does Steve Cohen want him or not? Plain and simple. Did he want him? Because last year, frolicking, saying we finally have the owner who gets who he wants. Plain and simple. Now all of a sudden, oh, he wanted LA, he wanted the warmth, he wanted this, he wanted that. What happened to last year that the Mets are the destination? That Juan Soto checked the landscape of baseball and made the obvious decision, the decision and the conclusion that you know and I know and Yankee fans know and Met fans know and everybody knows that Queens is where you want to be. That the farm system, the pocket of the owner, like everything being run by one of the smartest executives in baseball, like he looked around baseball, the greatest free agent since Alex Rodriguez, he looked around baseball and said, I want to be there. I want to be there because that's where my future lies. That's the best place to be. And a year later, half the fan base wants to say, well, he wanted to be a Dodger. What are you going to do? Sorry, I ain't buying it. Now, go pivot. Bring back Pete. We're going to get to that. Go bring back Pete. There's no excuse not to. Go get Bellinger. Go spend some money. And go build a good baseball team. That's still on the table. Don't get me wrong. But this is a rough day. And that's a rough player to lose. And that's a very difficult player to replace. And it's their fault. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back. Take your calls. Get you all the way to midnight. As long as the voice makes it. Amazing. I don't know if you heard my previous, the Saturday show, I was okay. Monday was rough. The Friday overnight of 5 hours by 4 a.m., I could barely speak. I felt good until I'm hearing it a little bit now. But I'm here with you. We will battle through. I'll take your phone calls. Do some heavy lifting for a change. What are you doing? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Taking your calls all the way to midnight right here on The Fan. We'll be right back. No, I'm not above that. It's a little fun. We can have some fun.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I honestly did that because I hope Evan's driving home right now. 888-808-1019. Hope he's listening. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Richie.
What, you listen to another podcast while you're on hold? Listen to a podcast while you're on hold? What's going on? Can't wait forever. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll give you more rope. Corey in Edison. What's up, Corey?
Hey, C-Mac. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, buddy.
It's funny because you'd almost rather that the Mets didn't make an offer at all, right? If they said they had a plan and, you know, a high price closer didn't fit to equation, you'd
right.
almost respect that.
Yeah.
But this just feels right. And I feel like the point you're making is, this kind of is contrary to all the things that we were sold with Steve Cohen, right?
Yeah.
It's like Mets fans were kind of living in a Steve Cohen bubble that kind of burst today. And
I totally agree. Like there was a Yankee bubble, and the Yankee bubble has burst mm-hmm. for a while. Yankee fans are unhappy for a long time, haven't won a championship since 2009. But there was that final bubble of we don't lose our guys. Anybody we target, we go get. Like that kind of Yankee bubble that was bursted with Juan Soto. And I do think right. I do think there's a little bit of when Steve Cohen took over, you wouldn't have to worry about losing your players anymore. A franchise that, you know, Beningo and Evan talk about a lot have obviously from Tom Seaver on have had a tradition. Tom Seaver, Daryl Strawberry, you know, have had a tradition of losing their guys. And those days are supposed to be over. Now, again, high price closer, big time money. I get the baseball argument of that. So you're right. If he would have just come out and said, look, I don't believe in at this age, at this time, I believe we've gotten the best from Diaz. The numbers went too high for me, and I don't think it's a good idea for the baseball purposes. I suppose that's a different argument than they got caught playing a game and lost to a team that doesn't play the game the same way. Like that pisses me off more. I totally agree. I think there is a little bit of that bubble bursting, especially for the group of fans who in particular – last offseason, a year ago this time, were through the roof on the idea that they were the big bad boys in town. And I do think that there's, you know, the Dodgers just came in and said, well, you might have had a good weekend. You might have had a good offseason last year against, you know, your buddy out in that you live next to, but we're the big boys and it sucks. It's,
yeah.
It does. Right. I'm with you.
Yep. Right on. Thank you, Matt.
You have got it, buddy. Evan Evan was listening. He didn't like the trumpet song I played. I would read his text, but we're on terrestrial radio. 888-808-1019. Mike in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, listen, perfect. So I tried to get in with Evan earlier, and I couldn't. So this is the message I want to give to Evan and all my Met fans here. So Evan was complaining. He has the most powerful time slot in the radio. He is Mr. Met, and we are the Met fans. No more complaining. We need to attack Cohen and Stearns. They should be embarrassed and ashamed of themselves. We deserve better. We fill their stadiums. We buy their high-priced food. We buy their hot dogs. We do everything. Mm-hmm. This has been an embarrassment, and they let the best closer in baseball walk. They did not make a strong offer. So, you know, to compensate for this, I want to see Kyle Tucker. I want to see Pete Alonso. I want to see a good pitching staff, so good that we put Clay Holmes in the bullpen. This has been an embarrassment for Cohen and for Smiley Stearns there. Enough is enough. We deserve better. And if Stearns can't do it, bring in Theo Epstein. Enough. And for all my Mets fans, use the radio and attack Stearns and Cohen. This is ridiculous. We have the richest owner in sports, and it shouldn't be like this. We let one of ours go, and what an embarrassment. The Mets should be embarrassed. Thank you so much. And, Evan, you better lead the charge, be our general, and attack these guys already. Yeah. Attack! Attack!
Okay. I mean, look, I hear, you know, and Evan, if you grow a beard or do something, Ev, he's right. You got to do something. Hunger strike, I don't know, something. You got to do something, Ev. Got to do something. No, but in all seriousness, look, it's a fine line because while I agree that today's a rough day and it is a little bit embarrassing, I mean, but the idea that you deserve better than this, I don't disagree. You deserve better than last year's results and you deserve better than having days like today. We talked about it. But, I mean, we haven't seen the offseason just yet. There are still moves to be made. The trade market is very promising. Like, I don't know. They're not going to be able to replace Diaz, but they can still put a good team together. So, like, I don't want to go crazy. And I know it might have sounded like I went crazy. I went crazy on this situation. The Mets still have an entire offseason to build a baseball team. But today, I don't get. I really don't get. And they should. Look, right now, as far as the fan base making sure they go sign Pete Alonso, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be tough to lose both of them. And if you want the ownership, you want Steve Cohen to hear that you're not happy about this, yeah, you should. You should. That's why, and that's part of it too. Like, why we don't blame Diaz. This is the Mets. The Mets could have done this. The Mets could have made a better offer. The Mets could have not played games with the Dodgers out there again. Like, the Dodgers don't play games. You know who you're messing with. You know I'm in the dark again. I would scream like Al Pacino, but I don't think my voice would handle it. I got 5 hours to do. I'm in the dark here. I always forget the lights go out. Like, it's 7:30. I forget. I'm sitting here in the dark. Like, you can't lose both of them. And to try and, you know, make the case again that, like, 3 years and 66, hey, we're playing the game. We offer you 366, and then you come back and say, well, the Dodgers did this. And then we go, okay, so we'll do that. And, like, the Dodgers don't play games. You're not negotiating against yourself like you found the situation with Pete last year. Pete last year, the Mets were negotiating against themselves. Nobody else stood up. Nobody else said, all right, we're in. Nobody. So the Mets didn't want to go the extra. They didn't have to for Pete. This is Stearns' job, Brian Cashman's job, Theo Epstein's job, theoretically. You mentioned Theo Epstein. Their job is to read the market and understand what's going on. And if they know the Dodgers are involved, at any moment the Dodgers can do things. At any moment the Dodgers can say, screw it, what do you want? I mean, it's almost become boring. It's like, what'd you say? Like, it's almost like they pick the phone and go, what? Oh, Diaz, what did you say you wanted again? Three for 70? 3 for 69, do it? Okay. All right, cool, man. We'll see you in spring. I don't even care anymore. That's who you're messing with. That's who you chose to play the game with, and you lost. Eric in Long Island. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, buddy.
I'll tell you what Evan can do. Evan can grow up. But that will never happen. That will never happen.
And I hope it doesn't. I love that childish SOB.
Well, good for you. But you know, he's got other responsibilities in life that require him to be a mature adult. But why is it, and I've been a Mets fan,
I'm a loser.
After growing up as a Dodger fan and being heartbroken when they went to Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and eventually gravitating to the Mets, so you can do the math and figure out how many years I've been one.
Right.
Why is it that New Yorkers are so egocentric that you think you just throw money at a problem and that will cure it? Why does it not occur to you that if Los Angeles came to you and offered you a talk show at a reasonable sum, perhaps a little bit more than what you're making in New York, you or your family would not consider different elements as to where I want to pitch? Why do you assume that Diaz wanted to be in New York? Why did you assume he didn't?
Because he left?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's not, I mean,
because he took an offer.
Yeah, because for more money.
Blame Cohen. Yeah, so what? A year ago, you were criticizing the Yankees. Why didn't they up their offer to go after Soto?
I agreed.
Because
I
they knew
more.
That they would be outbid. Yeah. But the long and the short of it is, Soto went with more money.
But for 15 years, it's $760 million, the largest contract in history. This is 3 years at 22 per. There is a difference on how far the Mets went for this player as opposed to how far the Yankees went, but I agreed with, I said the same thing then. Give him the suite. Give him the wardrobe. I don't care. Bring him here. And the idea, this is baseball. They play in the summer. He can live in L.A. half the year and then play baseball in New York when it's summertime. Like, the idea that L.A. is such a, like, I get it, sure. But this isn't a year-round thing. You're talking about me leaving, like, to do a radio show year-round with my family and avoid the New York winters. This dude could live wherever he wants in the winter. He can go buy his own private island. Like, I get it. I get it. And certainly for the Japanese player who wants to come here and be closer to home and make an easier flight, we certainly get that. And that's part of this, like, the Ohtani contract. And we'll get to this later. I don't want to do this right now. The Ohtani contract is the greatest contract in the history of sports. It is the best fake $700 million ever spent. It might be the best money ever spent. I always said the $47 I paid for the Beatles anthology DVD set was the best money ever spent. I think the Ohtani contract tops it. Truly. We'll get to that. Not only that, he's a recruiter. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to just sit here and go, well, he wanted to be in L.A. Well, then what's the point? Play all the games, have all the teams out on the West Coast, and just forget this nonsense to make nobody have to come here. It's about money. It almost always is. Every free agent signs for the most money. They almost all do. I'm sorry, that's just the way it goes. Almost 90% of the time. Nobody's ever like, oh, well, you know, I went to Seattle because I love the rain and coffee. Craig in Mattawa. What's up, Craig?
Hey, Chris. Love the show. All right. Just let me make 3 points, and please hear me out. First of all, to the gentleman who's drunk on the whole fire, David Stearns.
Yeah.
First of all, I would switch seats in a heartbeat with any Milwaukee Brewer fan. That man, 100%. Not only is Milwaukee, they have a seat at the dinner table every October. They're not waiting outside, ready to come in like the Mets, make the playoffs 1 year, 3 years in a row, don't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, he built that from ground up.
He certainly did. He did a great job himself.
You want to beat him up.
I mean, Milwaukee.
I'm just saying, if they want to beat him up and call him, oh, well, he didn't sign Diaz. At the end of the day, some of that money was deferred. You can save. Maybe he didn't want to be with the Mets. Maybe he wanted to be in L.A., at the end of the day, if they came and said 66, he didn't come back after he was offered $69, $3 million more, should they have made a stronger offer? Yeah, they should have. But at the end of the day, you also got to look. You want to say, Bez, you guys are treating this guy like Mariano Rivera. He had 2 good years in a row. I give you that. Yes, and I'm a Met fan. But let's be honest. Some of those games, if you're not drunk and you're watching it sober, he gets into a lot of trouble, and eventually Lady Luck will run out.
I think there's a fine line. And I don't know if that was another veiled shot at Evan, but I do like the idea that within the first half hour of the show, practically, Evan's been called a child. Evan's been called now drunk. And Evan has been called to action. I love it. This is
suck
great.
It!
This is great. Look, I don't disagree with you. I think the idea that they need to run Stearns out of town is ridiculous. I'm not saying that. I'm frustrated with today. Believe it or not, and I know this is going to knock you over with a feather, but believe it or not, I have been critical about Brian Cashman. I know. I don't know if you remember, but the day they traded for Josh Donaldson, I went off. I have been critical of particular moves on any given situation. That doesn't mean, as you quite know, that I think Brian Cashman sucks at his job. I don't. This is the same. I don't think we have determined whether or not David Stearns is an excellent GM just yet. I do think he built up the Milwaukee Brewers and did an incredible job that they are still reaping the benefits of. Totally agree. And I have every expectation or thought that he understands. Like, I agree with a lot of his thought processes about not wanting to spend big money on prime time, on older, you know, free agent starting pitching. I think eventually you can't run it like that forever. You have to pick your right guys, but, and you're going to have to make, you know, go, you can't just live like that. You're going to have to break that rule eventually. But I think it's smart. Like, and I think I have every expectation that he's good at this. I still feel that way. And I think the idea that he needs to be fired is ridiculous right now. Now, if they win, if they have another 83 win season and next year looks the same, then we start having a conversation. But he's been here 2 years and you had one of the best years you've ever had and one of the worst years you've ever had when considering expectations. Really not much the first year as far as expectations and a great run all the way to the NLCS and a ton of expectations last year and a colossal failure. So I get it. And I'm critical of him today. And I'm critical of him of this move. But I agree with you. The idea that that Met fans should be clamoring for either his resignation or him to be fired or, you know, that he's an absolute bum and the Met fan deserves better than this. Yeah, I would probably put that in the overreaction category. But I do think today he's more to blame than Edwin Diaz. And I think it's a convenient. Now you're basing it on reports that have been leaked from, I don't know, take a guess who, about what the Mets were willing to do and they didn't call back and we would have went more, but like that's all coming from the Mets to try and justify losing him. Doesn't mean they're lying, but there's always two sides to every story. And the fact of the matter is 3 years at $66 million is not an offer to make sure you retain your closer. And they should have made an offer to make sure they retain their closer. And instead, they played the let's see what the bare minimum we can get him for game, and they played that with a team that doesn't play that way. And they got beat. And that's their fault more than it's Diaz, more than it's the weather in L.A., more than it's the Pacific Ocean, more than it's anything like that, more than it's Rodeo Drive or anything else you want to say. It's more about the Mets didn't do enough. And they didn't do enough when they had the opportunity to. Plain and simple. Mike in Red Bank. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, Chris. You know, you had the other caller talking about, and you just touched on how great of a job David Stearns did in Milwaukee. What did he win?
He hasn't won anything. But he
hasn't won anything.
So, he built a foundation.
Yeah, I get it. The goal here is not to make the playoffs. The goal is not
Correct.
To make the playoffs.
No, I get it.
All right. So not only did he fail at making the playoffs,
He's
now starting a dismantling of this team. If you're Alonso, do you want to come back?
I mean, I would think a dismantling of the team. I mean, did you view like Nimmo as that dismantling of the team? I do think
a lifelong Met who was in the conversation to be a team captain, losing him, yes, that's part of the dismantling. Edwin Diaz, the best closer in baseball, losing him for nothing.
Yep.
Yes. And then you have Alonso.
Well, that's not true.
You are going to get two
picks.
You've disrespected him for 2 years in a row, all right, when the contract negotiations were supposed to off, and then when the contract negotiations needed to start, they kept pushing him off. So you know he feels disrespected. He wants to be here, but looking around at the talent, and now you're hearing about the dysfunction in the clubhouse and everything else, I don't think Stearns is doing this great job that everyone says he is. Listen, he may be best suited to be a mid-market GM, but this is New York, buddy.
No, I get it.
You can't pull what you do over there in New York and expect to be praised.
I know, but it's been two years. It's been 2 years. And the first year they went, and the first year they had one of the best years they've ever had. Like, that was a great year.
Who built that roster?
No, I get it. It's not totally him. No, it wasn't totally.
So he can't take credit for that. So
well, no, he could take credit for
he
could
take
he could take credit for a rotation that got them to there. I mean, he can take credit for Severino.
Okay, right,
he can take credit for Manaea.
You're absolutely right. Manaea overperformed. Severino overperformed.
Well,
and he gets credit for that.
Right, because you're going to blame him for them underperforming the next year. So I mean, it's fair.
It's fair, but did they repeat those performances?
No.
Was Severino there to repeat his performance?
No.
Did Manaea repeat his performance?
No.
Has Senga lived up to any of those expectations?
No.
So then you can't praise him for doing that.
I don't think anyone's praising him, to be honest with you right now. I don't think anyone's praising him. I'm just saying that the jury is still out. I'm not ready to declare him a bum 2 years into the deal. That's all I'm saying. And yes, he can't treat the Mets the same way as Milwaukee, but... Like, it's not like he's been, like, you got to give him time before you just assume that's what he's doing. You hired him, right? You hired him. They brought him in. Everybody loved it. Great first year. I do think you have to give him some, like, I'm frustrated with today, right? And this is, you got me pushing back on stuff because I'm against David Stearns today. I think he is the number one reason why Diaz isn't a Met, and I view that as a bad thing. So I'm pissed off at him today through my Met fan lens here. I truly am. But I'm not ready to just say he can't do this, he won't do that, he'll never do this, he'll never do that. Like, and you can't treat it like this. It's only been 2 years, and yeah, maybe he viewed this team as a problem. I personally talked about how the core of this team might need a shakeup after this. Because last year's the only year. Like, what other GM came in here and did better? Like, what did this core ever do? They had the great regular season of 22 and then failed the last weekend against Atlanta and into the playoffs and faded with Buck. 23 was a disaster where they're trading away pieces at the deadline. Like, what did this core ever do? You said dismantling this team, but it's not about making the playoffs, it's about winning the whole thing. What did the part of the team that he's dismantled so far win exactly? Like, you have to be fair, too. Even if you're critical of the move, you can't call me up and say, well, it's about winning and he's dismantling a winning team. What winning team? Where? What has he dismantled? A team that's done what exactly? So, I mean, you have to see the complete vision, but it makes it harder to build a winning team without Diaz. And I hate this move. Hate it, and I blame him. But at the same time, you can't just call me up and say, well, he's a disaster, nothing's ever been good, you can't handle it like this, and he's dismantling a team, and dismantling a team that's won nothing, dismantling a team that's fighting in the clubhouse. Now, I don't think, we don't know how bad that is or whatever the case may be, but maybe they viewed something to be wrong inside the room. I think that's a fair discussion when you look at that trade and now you look at this and how they've handled Pete last year into this year, moving on from Nimmo, and now the way they handled Diaz. Like, there could be something about how he feels about the room. And that's not nothing. I keep hearing people say it doesn't matter. The 86 team didn't like each other. The Bronx is burning. 77, 78 teams didn't like each other. All that is proof that you can win when teams don't like each other. That's great. Granted, it's not a guaranteed way to fail. You can still win. But you can't point to the three teams that won and say, you see, it doesn't matter, because I could probably find a bunch of teams who didn't get along and it was part of their demise. Like, sure, you can win if the group doesn't like each other, but it can be a problem too. And this team hasn't won. So it's up to them. It's up for Stearns. It's up for Mendoza. It's up to Cohen to take a look inside this room and see if it's a problem and see if it's part of the reason why the Cincinnati Reds were better last year. Sure, you can be the 86 Mets, right? You can win in a bunch of different ways. You could be the We Are Family Pittsburgh Pirates in 1979. You could be a team that loves each other, like the 98 Yankees, apparently, for the most part, outside of maybe David Wells. Like, you could do it any which way. There's no secret sauce. There's no guaranteed way of success. You don't have to love each other. You don't have to hate each other either. But the bottom line is the 86 team that you keep pointing to won. The 77, 78 Yankees won. So maybe there is an issue inside the room, and maybe that's part of his thought process on this. I don't know. But I can tell you this. They had the best closer in baseball. Now they don't. That makes it harder to win. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Back with more of your calls right after this. All right, the winner of this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This game will take on the Knicks. Is that a... You don't even
you
know.
You think I know how the NBA Cup works?
This is the quarterfinals. They don't have the court in all one color, though. So I don't remember if that's how they do it, where they in the quarterfinals, they don't... It says right here, quarterfinals Cup game. I'm pretty sure that... I mean, again,
what channel is this on?
It's on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
It's on Amazon.
Well, the Knicks are also simulcast on MSG. That's why I'm going to be watching it.
Oh, they are on MSG tonight?
Because I just I saw MSG posted Mike and Clyde on the call, so I'm assuming.
Oh, nice.
They're not doing the Amazon call.
No, they're not doing the Amazon call. But I'm the only reason, I mean, I knew this was the game. I knew it was the winner of Orlando and Miami, but I'm confused because the court's not all one color. So that's what threw me off. But the winner of this game, the Knicks will take on to go win their first championship since 1973. I'm going to give it a try. And I will say this. Evan was talking about, since Evan's been a main topic here on the show for the first hour, Evan was talking about how no matter who wins or what happens, you have to raise a banner. I do a Saturday show. I do my Saturday show at 9 a.m. Joe is on before me, a couple of shows before me, but he's on earlier in the morning. If the Knicks win this thing, I am making sure. I am making sure. Joe, if you hear this, I apologize in advance. I am making sure I'm up early enough, and I am asking the producer to put me through to Joe because I have to talk to Joe after a Knick championship. I have got to talk to Joe after a Knick NBA Cup championship. I have to hear from him that morning. I have to know how he feels. I have to know how Joe's going to feel about winning the first championship since 1973. Getting ready to hang that first championship banner. Probably be something like that. All right, let's go to Gary in Astoria. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Chris. You're having a great show here.
Oh, thank you.
I have a different take on this.
Okay.
David Stearns needs to be fired. Just hear me out. Yes.
I don't mean I don't mean to laugh at the premise that it's ridiculous.
No,
it's just
we
were talking about it and just the way you said it. But go ahead, I guess.
Yes. No, he needs to be fired. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
You go to the winter meet. Wait a second. Go to the winter meetings. You know that Diaz is on a chopping block. Mm-hmm. You know that Alonzo is on a chopping block. You know you want to get Kyle Schwarber from the Phillies. You want to get that first baseman. Okay, mm-hmm. You're down there. You got the richest owner in baseball, Steve Cohen. You signed Juan Soto for $700 million. Now you want to put the pieces together. You got Devin Williams. Now you want to keep your closer. Mm-hmm. Even though he had some problems, you want to keep your closer.
100%.
And he didn't keep his closer. When I hear about the Milwaukee stuff, I also have friends out in Milwaukee that told me there was a lot of people underneath Stearns that built that ball club up, so it wasn't him.
Well,
then you comes to
No, that's
then
just
he
not
comes
fair.
To well,
fair.
Yes, no, it's the truth. And then he comes to the Mets,
mm-hmm.
And what does he do? He brings in Halsey. He brings in Montes. What his name is?
Yeah, Frankie Montes.
27. Yes. Okay, and where are they today?
Well, Halsley is going to be the closer for the Baltimore Orioles, so we'll see. Halsey. And Frankie Montas has been cut. He was terrible. He's hurt. Terrible signing. Terrible, 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 terrible. Everything he did last year was terrible. There's no, like, I'm with you. But here's the one thing I push back on. You can't tell me that, you know, there are people underneath him who really built. He's the general manager. That's how it works. What's your point? He hired smart people? So he doesn't get credit for it? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. He gets credit for what's going on in Milwaukee or what he did in Milwaukee as the general manager. Don't tell me there were other people who did things. That's his job, is to hire those people who are good at doing things. Like, that's, it's all him. He gets credit. That's how it works. That's how it works. Of course there are other people's decisions. The ones he listens to are and picks the right ones are, of course. That's how, of course. So you can't dismiss that. And, like, I agree with you. A couple of things you said, and we got a break here. But when you spend $760 million on a player like Juan Soto, you want to keep going to build a championship team around him. Of course. When you sign Devin Williams to the back end of a bullpen that really right now has three names to it. Let's be honest. Raleigh, Minter, Williams. That's it. That's the only three names you trust. And Minter's coming off an injury. So, like, yeah, the whole point, what'd we say when Williams was signed? It was the most obvious take of all time. Sometimes you got to get creative. Sometimes you got to come up with a fun way to say something, a fun way, unique way to look at something. The Williams trade, the Williams signing for me was easy. If they sign Diaz, brilliant. If they don't, now Williams is your closer? And we're going to talk about the added pressure that is now on Devin Williams to be the closer after the creaky door and Chris Lopresti. And no, but like, you know, like after Devin, now Devin Williams has to be the guy replacing the best closer in baseball in Mets history. Like, this, all of a sudden he's gone from the Yankees to being the best reliever without question, and he better get the job done with the Mets. It is, this is a terrible day. They absolutely should have signed him. They should have done more. It's a bad day, and we'll see. And now we get into the other half of the, are they going to sign Diaz or are they going to sign Pete? What does this 5 years for Schwarber mean? And the Mets are still hanging tough with 3 years, not wanting to do more than that for Pete. So still more questions for the Mets, but we'll continue to take your calls on Diaz. We will turn our attention to Pete. We'll wonder if the Yankees are doing anything, and the Knicks are going for a championship tonight, or at least the beginnings of a championship tonight. I'm very excited. Very. I'm watching this with, I can barely contain myself. It's 80-75 Orlando over the Heat right now. 77. It's only a 3-point game with 3 minutes left, Chris. I'm very excited.
I can tell you're locked in.
I'm locked in.
Sorry for that noise when I walked in.
No, I know that door needs some oil.
I was like, Aunt Bethany, you know, Dia, did I break wind as I walked in or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. And you were, yeah, you were that, I felt like I was in the closet of a scary movie and the villain right, just walked in. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
All right. But you do have a little bit of a villain's haircut. Although that's, I don't know. I don't know.
That's fair.
It's a little bit of a James Bond villain, a very like up-to-date, modern, smart, you know.
We'll go with that.
Smart, sure. Kind of.
I might have been a little aggressive in my request when I got it done yesterday.
No, I think so. It looks good. But that's one of those, like a James, you look like you sit down at a poker game and you're like, you know, you're from like the financial world.
Or
somehow.
Missing like a scar or maybe some sort of like Two-Face or something. I don't know.
I think villains today are more straightforward.
Yeah?
Yeah. I haven't seen
the most recent Bond film, so I can't speak to that.
I think the most recent one, if I'm not mistaken, was the guy who played Freddie Mercury in the... I think he was one of the more recent Bond villains. I think so.
Huh.
So like that kind of look. More of just like an everyday...
Isn't his name also Rami?
His name is Rami.
Rami Malek, right?
Rami Malek. That's true.
That's true.
How about that?
Yeah. People started getting my name right once.
Oh, really? There you go.
Maybe famous. One day they'll do the same for me. 888-808-1019.
Chris McGonigal.
Yeah. I swear. They could find some sort of long lost like blood relative and put me as the King of England. And they'd introduce me with McGonagall.
McGonagall.
Doesn't matter what I do. I'm McGonagall.
Chris McDougal. I can't pronounce his last name. Who cares?
Yeah, that's a great one.
That's such a tribute. Like people hear that, they think it's different. But that is like when you get that from Dog. Oh, it's a badge of honor.
Oh,
it
no
really
doubt.
Is. Yeah.
I played that on the first Saturday show that I did because I was working the board for Chris on a Saturday, and Chris McDougal. I can't pronounce his last name. Who cares?
I mean, the man to this day butchers names that are, no offense to you, far more significant.
I know. It's true. No, I know.
That well, sometimes I'm working with him and he knows I'm on the show, I'm working, and he'll forget the next hour and introduce me as someone different altogether. Oh, not even butchering my name, just the wrong name, period.
Just the wrong name, period. Yeah. No, he's the best.
Oh,
that's the great Howie Rose. Mm. Sorry, Chris. There's a bunch of them. Add Marchand to the list. It's okay. 888.
Saquon Barkley.
Chris McGonigal.
Yeah, that's what he played. That was Marchand today. 888-808-1019. We'll come back, continue to take your calls. Here's LaPresti.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.